One.
Hey guys, welcome back. We're on episode 6 of the Midcasters. I'm Jalen, and this is
favorite film talker and comic book talker, Craig.
Awesome. And Craig, how is your week this week? I hear you're at MomoCon. How's that going?
Aside from today not being able to breathe, it's gone pretty good.
That's exciting. We had a Comic Con here, but I decided not to go because it's too hot outside.
When is there not a drought in Arizona?
Oh my gosh. I don't know who put a town here, but they're not the brightest bulb in the box. But we have tons of news that can keep us cool during the summer heat up months. So many things happened this week that we got to get through. Starting off strong, we have some of the most idiotic comments I've ever heard made from the Netflix CEO to date, that Barbie and Oppenheimer would have had the same, if not have been bigger, on streaming. And I don't know if that man's okay, but his son did watch Lawrence of Arabia, a 4-hour film, on his phone. So there's a lot going on there, but what do you make of his comments?
I think that is complete idiotic and total BS, because I'm sorry for everyone who's listening. There are people walking by. I'm sitting in the hallway, but to answer your question, I think that's very, very ignorant to say, considering how a lot of people are canceling their streaming services because of the price increase.
And the quality of films on Netflix is not the same.
Right. And Barbenheimer got people excited to go to the theater again.
They even dressed up in pink. That was not even made by the studio to do. We just did it. And it is the highest grossing Warner Brothers movie of all time, domestically and internationally. Batman, you lost. Anyways, I just don't listen to, like, Infinity Wars or Endgame. You would not have had the same theater experience or the community in any film, regardless, if you were to see it on streaming. Like, Infinity Wars would not have had that same effect, and nobody would have come back for Endgame if it was on streaming.
Absolutely.
It's just sad to see him talk about film like this, and they really need to take a note from Apple and invest. I mean, Killers of the Flower Moon did great in theaters, but we know Netflix, they're not going to change, and they're just going to keep continuing to make these idiotic comments. Also, Lawrence of Arabia should not be watched on your phone. but moving forward, we have an official home for the live-action Sims movie, which is produced by Margot Robbie, also suspected that she might actually star in, and it found its home with Amazon MGM Studios, which is awesome. Great director, great writer, so I'm excited to see what they do with that. I mean, at least we know now that there's a whole story and a lore with Sims. But what do you think about Amazon taking it?
I'm still going to need some. I'm still going to need to see something before I make a decision on, you know, they're making a live action Sims, because I'm not sure how I feel about them turning every single video game into a film.
Barbie did so well, though.
Well, Barbie was an animated TV show, so I can see why it worked very well. But as far as movies like, you know, Sonic, as far as, like, you know, game franchises like Sonic and Call of Duty, those are a little bit more difficult, especially if there are, like, numerous different video games.
So, like, Uncharted, for example.
Right.
I mean, I didn't hate the movie, but I didn't love the movie. It's just kind of hard to adapt certain things into a film. in knowing that there's a whole storyline with Sims, it kind of makes me feel more comfortable. I don't feel like Margot would have just picked it just to pick it to make the money, because I feel like she has been picking a lot of amazing projects.
Right. I think the main problem with Uncharted was I've played all four games, and the problem mm-hmm. is that they didn't know which Uncharted game they wanted the film to be about. They picked multiple different things from all four Uncharted games, made it an origin story, and went with a younger Nathan Drake and Sully, which I didn't like.
Justice for Tom Holland.
Right.
We must save him from the reins of Sony and the Russo brothers.
Yeah, because that was just, that was not good. Even a lot of the special effects was just so bad in that film.
It did come out in the January month. So, I mean, like, people forgot about it pretty easily. I think they're already written a script. But the second one, I'm not a big Mark Wahlberg fan, but I just go to show my support for a movie just because theaters, they have a hard time putting butts in the seats. And Memorial Day weekend, we have Garfield that came out. We had Furiosa that came out. And it's one of the lowest box office numbers in Memorial Day history. And that is so sad.
And what's the movie?
Furiosa and Garfield. Garfield makes sense because it's a kid movie and not everybody's going to see it.
I was not expecting Furiosa to be on that list.
Yeah. Movies are just not making what they should be making. And I saw an article that said the Marvels, if it were to come out like right now, it would be the fifth highest grossing movie of 2024.
I believe that.
And it's sad that these studios, they can't put butts in the seats. Theaters are expensive. Food is expensive. You got to pay for gas and all of this. And it's sometimes more comfortable to sit in the comfort of your own home. But it also doesn't help when a movie is coming out like 2 or 3 weeks right after it hits the theaters. And that's sad because theaters used to do like a 3-month run on stuff. And you could go see it, I don't know, weeks after it came out. That's what I did with Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. I saw it maybe like a month or two after it came out.
Yeah. Like Furiosa, I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to see it with my brother on Tuesday. I'm going to watch Mad Max before that just to get a broader picture of the story. But like Top Gun Maverick, that did phenomenal during Memorial Day.
Yes, probably one of the best openings ever for Memorial Day weekend. And I feel like we need more films like that to come out. And I don't know if maybe like Dune Part 2 would have done better in this time frame to come out. Obviously, it didn't help with the streaming stuff. But I mean, I love a good movie, and it's just hard to get families in the theaters, especially in this economy. And it's sad, but there's a lot of good projects in the work. Like we have two Pirates of the Caribbean films in the works. One is the spinoff with Margot Robbie, which will be like written by one of the girls who helped write Birds of Prey, and then a reboot, which is like completely on its own. So it would be its sixth movie. So that one would be like Austin Butler, maybe. That's a good thing that they have coming out. I mean, we have Glenn Powell set to star in a remake of Heaven Can Wait. We have a new cat. Well, there's so many like rumors. I'm just like waiting for them to be confirmed. But there's a lot of good projects in the works, and I feel like original content, maybe a reboot or a remake of a film that wasn't as good before, could do better in the theaters. But
to be honest, I never even heard of that film until you mentioned it maybe a couple days ago. I added it to my watch list, though. So I'll watch that. And I don't know the gist of it or what's it about, but I do know that, like, the movie Cocktail with Tom Cruise, that movie is his worst film, in my opinion. And that needs to be rebooted. I'm not a big fan of reboots or remakes, but Tom Cruise's Cocktail needs to be remade because that film had like three different plots in one movie.
Honestly, I do not. I don't blame you on that. But we have some other news this week. Mark Ruffalo is in talks to star opposite of Chris Hemsworth in an adaptation of Crime 101, which would be a series, and that would be kind of exciting to see them together. I like seeing these big A-list stars in like series. It's very I mean, I know it's like an 8-episode series, but it's still like nice to see them do TV shows.
I think,
Plus crime.
I mean, anything to give him a anything that'll get him an Oscar or Emmy.
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo is long overdue for awards. He's been nominated so many times. He's so amazing. Some other news that we got, Rupert Friend has been casted in Jurassic Park alongside Scarlett Johansson and Jonathan Bailey, and they worked previously together on Asteroid City, which I think is exciting because we also haven't seen any other female leads, which is very exciting for me because that means it's actually her own trilogy, her own franchise, which I'm excited for because she deserves it.
They are really beating a dead horse. Kill that
I
franchise.
think with Pratt it will be better. I have confidence in it because Steven Spielberg is attached to it.
That last film was so bad, I didn't even finish it. Man, they went from
I've never
dinosaurs
seen it.
to they went from dinosaurs to locusts.
Yeah, I don't think Steven Spielberg was attached to that movie like whatsoever, those movies whatsoever. So I have confidence in this one, and then Garth Edwards, who directed two amazing movies with the first Godzilla movie, and then obviously Rogue One, the best Star Wars movie of all time. I have confidence in that.
Well, hopefully he can they can make magic with this one.
Oh, I'm so confident, and it makes me happy because like Scarlett and Jonathan Bailey were such big fans of the films growing up, and they always talked about it. So it kind of is like you want a fan to be in that film. So that kind of makes me excited to see what type of touch they bring to that. And speaking of Scarlett Johansson, she may or may not be suing ChatGPT for stealing her voice for their AI Sky, which has since been deactivated over those legal threats. And they had came to her a few months ago asking if she would loan her voice because she has such a unique voice, and she said no, and no means no, but according to ChatGPT, it meant yes. But what do you think about that and just the overall use of AI and stealing actors'
I think
likeness?
it's very stupid and annoying how people are using a lot of the actors and actresses' likes just for profit. And it, I feel like AI has done more harm than good.
It's quite scary because she said that she said no, and her family and friends like mentioned it. Obviously, we saw it on the SNL Weekend Update skit with her husband. For the season finale of 49 for SNL. And it's just like, that's really terrifying that like AI can do this. And there's just like so many things, like you can use it to like commit crimes. So it's like pretending to be somebody, but you're not actually that person and you're trying to throw. It's just terrifying to see what can happen. AI really doesn't have a business in writing scripts, in any part of filmmaking. Technology is great. It has a lot of resources, but AI is very Terminator too.
Right. I
AIs
agree with
are a
that.
bad idea. But we have another thing with Scarlett Johansson. Potentially, Disney slash Marvel could be adapting The Blonde Phantom, which is a series set to be produced allegedly by Scarlett. This is the project that they're alleging is the secret project. I still think it's Young Avengers, or Mary Marvel, but that's not the point. But Taylor Swift is rumored to star. And you know what? I think they were throwing us off with the potential Dazzler, casting, because I feel like that could put butts in the seats. Taylor Swift, people love Taylor Swift. They see the movies for her. She's been in a few, not very good. But it's a 1950s spy show, and it would be based in Las Vegas. Now, two iconic blonde badass bitches. That would be an amazing show. Preferably a movie. But what do you think about the potential blonde Phantom?
I don't want to see that at all. That's like... No, absolutely not. I don't want to... I love Beyonce, but I mean, her acting is...
Well, she was good in Austin Powers, okay?
I am not doing this.
Maybe she'll be the Dazzler and they're trying to throw us off. I don't know. I still think that Scarlett's... I still think she's probably going to be involved with a Young Avengers project. I saw something... because she allegedly has like a Finsta. I think she, which it is her, but it's like not like a, it's not like an official account. That's not the point. I saw a post of like Mary Marvel, and I was like, maybe Young Avengers. I was just like, you cannot convince me that it's not going to be a Young Avengers related thing. Like her, Soshi Gomez, Iman Vellani, they would like chaotic, probably make her pull her hair out or something.
Yeah, there are a lot of musicians that have transitioned to acting and have actually been good, aside from Will Smith. I don't think there's any musician that has transitioned to acting and has like separated the two.
Childish Gambino.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a good point.
He is phenomenal.
He started off I think a lot of people saw him differently when he went back to acting after he did music.
That makes sense. I think he's still touring, but he's really good in the Mr. and Mrs. Smith series.
That's still on my list.
It's so good. We talked about season two last week, and how they're potentially not, those two stars are not set to return. And I have a feeling that it's going to follow like different couples. And then by the end of the series, they all come together and eventually take down the organization.
That would be cool.
Yes. I'm excited for that. We have some other Marvel news this week too. X-Men has officially found a writer in Michael Leeson, who penned the Hunger Games Songbirds Ballads movie. I can't even remember the name of it right now. Ballads? Snakes? How do you... you can
Tigers, oh my?
No, they found their writer in Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. He is set to pen the official X-Men movie for the MCU. So it is official that we are getting an X-Men movie. So Jennifer Walters, you can calm down now. We also have the Vision series, which I already knew was going to happen, set to come out in 2026, and we have a showrunner, so that's a positive step forward. I don't know if it's going to be called Vision Quest. It's just called Vision for now, but I think I'm more excited for the X-Men movie.
They need to work on their animation department. All I care about is animation. I want to see a Fantastic Four animated series, perhaps a Daredevil animated series. I want to see more of their animation.
Well, isn't there already animated series, but they're not like kind of connect? Like, do you want them connected with the overall MCU or just like?
I want it to be a separate thing. I don't want it.
Okay, so like their own. Got it.
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of feel that way about What If, but I haven't seen season two yet, but I have a feeling that it's going to have some connection with the MCU. And I don't hate it, but I think I just want Jeffrey Wright in live action as the Watcher, to be honest.
I think that's exactly what my cousin said. My cousin said... What If is a good series. It just feels repetitive because it follows the same stuff that the movies does, but in a different way.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things in like the comics. So like, for example, Natasha Romanoff in the What If comics 2015, I think it is, she picks up Thor's hammer and she becomes worthy and like obviously Mighty Thor. I mean, there's so many like things that they can do with that, and I feel like they could keep continuing with it. I don't think they necessarily need the A-list stars to voice it just for cost wise. And maybe like what they did with like Scarlett didn't come back for Natasha Romanoff, so like obviously you could use like Belle as the character and just find a solution to keep it going, because there's so many stories that you can tell with right. that. Yeah, I still need to watch season two. I'm not in a rush, but I'm not like, it's like X-Men 97. It's just, I haven't made around to it.
I need to watch the OG X-Men before I watch that. I've seen the first three episodes. Need to finish the rest. But as far as What If, I forgot there was a season two until you mentioned it, just because I've been just exhausted from all things MCU and DC.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's exhausting. And that thing they came out with the shows that you don't have to watch like other things to understand the shows. I don't feel like that's necessarily true, because I feel like it, at the end of the day, we could see it all come together in like Secret Wars, for example. I'm not saying it is, but like I feel like it's hard to come into the MCU and like know what's going on. Like, you can't go see Multiverse of Madness and immediately understand everything.
Right.
Or like Sharon Carter. Like, what the heck? She's a power broker. Who she talked to? What's next for her character? And there's so many unanswered things that like they need to focus on progressing the story and not making us wait, because it's been like what, 2 or 3 years since Sharon Carter?
Right.
And it's just like pre phase four, like everything just made sense. Phase four kind of wrapped up things that were like lingering from the Endgame Infinity Saga. But it's hard to see them do another Avengers movie so soon. If it's like kind of like similar to like the first Avengers, that makes sense. But like Secret Wars, that needs to be like the final, not the end game. I guess it would be like similar to Endgame and like make that two parts.
Right.
But they still have to find a new King the Conqueror, and it's rumored that they're going to find different actors to play all the different versions of King and then have that one main King version.
I don't know if they would want to do that. But I mean, if they did, I vote for John David Washington as Kang the Conqueror.
Or like Denzel Washington, even. I feel like Denzel could have that fear factor.
He is phenomenal.
He really is. He's so good. But there's just a lot going on in the MCU altogether, and it's exhausting. But let's kind of have a positive note, is that Disney, Dua Lipa, it is rumored that she is set to play Meg. And we were talking about it last week, and I was like, I don't know who would play Meg. And I kind of see the vision, but I need to see more to believe in that vision. But what do you think about that potential casting?
I think Dua Lipa needs the a step to the side, because Elizabeth Gillis, however you pronounce her last name, she's got this.
I need to see both of them sing. I need to see them in the makeup, and then I can see the vision of both. But I believe if you believe, I just think the only person that I can see, since they mentioned it, is Dua Lipa, because she obviously has the pipes to do it. I have no doubt that your girl does either, but I need to see more to see the vision, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
All Oh my gosh. But I do see the vision for Glenn Powell to play like Booster Gold or something.
He looks just like him.
Man, could you imagine if he was like in the MCU, not as Sentry, but like as Hyperion or something? That would be dope.
I do think he embodies the energy.
Oh yeah, he does. Somebody said that they did an interview with him for Hollywood Reporter, I think it was, or Vanity Fair, and they took it out of context that he would never do a Marvel movie. He never said no, he wouldn't, but it's always funny how like they take things out of context. I feel like he would do good in it, but right now I think he's just kind of trying to set himself apart from being pigeonholed into that rom-com guy.
Well, to be honest, I would only do a superhero film if I was the villain and if they killed me. Because to be honest, I would not want to be known as just, hey, so-and-so. I mean, hey, it's Nick Fury.
That's why you see them doing so much stuff outside of the MCU to kind of build that rapport, so that way they're not always like what we see with Elizabeth Olsen. She's doing so many things to separate herself from that world, so that way she can stand on that rather than on the MCU, even though she's great in whatever it is she does.
Right. Like
all the actors in Marvel has that.
All the actors what?
All the actors in Marvel, with the exception, I'm sorry, in the OG six, with the exception of Chris Evans, has the ability to do that. And they all had like amazing performances pre-MCU besides Chris Evans.
Right.
Maybe, I'm going to add Chris Hemsworth because he hasn't really separated himself right now. But I hear good things about him in Furiosa, is that he really shows his acting chops and that he needs to do more movies like that.
I think he should just stop with the Thor movies. I mean, it's not his fault, but I mean, yeah. The first Thor was good. Second one, trash. Third one was
pretty good. Really messed it up.
Yeah.
It makes me sad because I think the third one was so strong and probably one of the top five movies in the MCU. And then I feel like he just kind of like, oh, la 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 la. I got my Oscars and I'm going to do what I want. And then the really bad CGI and just silly and goofy. I think George Miller, because there's like a rumor that he might direct the fifth one, which I personally would love because I feel like there would be more practical effects and just better stunning visuals and just a good ride off into the sunset for the character.
That has got to be the most disappointing quadrilogy in existence for me.
No, I'd say Ant-Man.
Oh yeah, those are just I feel like
still the pissed if there's three movies.
Right.
Oh gosh. But we can both agree that it's time for Thor to ride off into the sunset.
Or fly off.
Whatever he wants to do, he wants to die, he wants to fly, he wants to retire, do that. I'm tired of it. I love Paul Rudd, but I'm tired of Ant-Man after that last one.
Yeah, that was abysmal.
Tired of it. Yeah, Thunderbolts is my last will to live, and if they mess that up, I don't know. I don't know what will happen from
here. We'll see what happens.
I mean, Florence Pugh is number one on the call sheet. And it's essentially like a Black Widow too. I don't know if they're keeping with that theme, but I'm excited because like it's the writer of Beef, and Beef was such an exceptional. It's won so many awards. It's an exceptional show, and then the director is from Beef as well. I'm kind of excited for that, so I have hope for that. And there's more practical effects, so that's very hopeful. I hate visual effects and CGI when it's overused. So like Atlas, the J-Lo movie. That was horrific.
I'll pass on that.
I don't know, man. It's something that you do while you're doing laundry, though. That's it's very forgettable. Crazy girl running up and down the block with that hair. J-Lo, don't sue us. We have no money.
Oh, I, oh, I don't. I mean, what's she gonna do? Cry about it?
Nah, she'll sue us. She might sue us or get her accounts blocked or something. Look what she did with the "You want more? I'll give you more." Kyle girl, the blind item girl. I mean, she passed away, but she got her main account banned, and that girl used that account for like paying for like treatments and stuff for her illnesses, which was really sad.
Oh, well, she's a terrible person then. I mean, well, I've already known that.
Terrible. She's been terrible. Why can't she go back to the movie, like doing movies like a Monster-in-Law or like, you know what I mean? Like, I like movies like that. I feel like that's where her acting ability really shines, is because she just does better in comedy movies. I can't take her seriously in these sci-fi movies. The one serious movie, maybe two, that I actually enjoy is Selena. And I think she's going to ride that forever. And then the movie Enough, which is a great, it would have been a good opportunity to like help empower women who are affected by DV. But those are the only two like serious movies that I enjoy of hers.
I only like Selena and Hustlers.
I forgot about that movie. She was really sad when she didn't get nominated. I'm like, girl, your performance wasn't good. Let's calm down here.
I don't even know who else was nominated that year.
It was the year that Scarlett had her double nomination.
I hate when they do that. They give someone a double nomination and they lose both.
Oh my gosh, she should have won at least the Marriage Story one. Jojo Rabbit's really good.
I would give Lupita Nyong'o Best Actress for Us, and then I would have gave Scarlett Best Supporting for JoJo.
Yeah, Us was really exceptional, and never getting over that movie. That's probably like her best performance ever. It's so terrifying. It's so good. I'm sorry, it's Jordan Peele's best movie, in my opinion, just because I love it so much.
I think it's definitely the most horror-esque of his films.
Exactly. And like Nope is more like kind of on the funny side of things. Because, I mean, you have Kiki Palmer, and who doesn't love Kiki Palmer?
Right. I do love the freaking production design is phenomenal. I love how the sound mixing is like terrifying to the audience's ears.
And they filmed it all during the daytime, too.
Yes.
It's so exceptional. But what else do we got? But I think that's all that we have for this week on the Midcasters. Craig, is there any lingering thoughts inside of your brain today?
I am currently on a mission to watch I had another mutual of mine tell me stop with Pirates of the Caribbean after the third film. So I'm going to take his word for it.
What? But the Penelope Cruz one is so good.
And which one is that?
I think it's like the fourth. Yeah, I think it's the fourth. And then the fifth one is Keira Knightley's not in it, but it is like Will Turner's son. I don't really enjoy that one. What was the one? They kept mentioning one in one movie. It was like Trident. I'm like, what the heck does Trident mean? I didn't realize until the end of the movie that they were talking about Poseidon's Trident. I don't know why I wasn't piecing it together in my brain. I was so embarrassed. I was like, wait, whoa. That makes sense.
Yeah, maybe I'll watch them and do a ranking of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not for everybody. They're just like a fun, goofy time because Johnny Depp's a fun, goofy guy. But yeah, I am going to work my way through the Mad Max movies. I have the three original to go through. But yeah, and I still have to work my way through the Predator series and then the Alien versus Predator.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot. I've seen the first Alien, Haven't seen Aliens, but a lot of people say just watch the first two.
Yeah, the first two. That's all you need to watch. I'm going to still watch the new one when it comes out because I do like Hailee Steinfeld and I've heard a lot of good things about it. Kind of bothers me though when like directors don't continue on with the next film, which is why I like George Miller is because he's the only one that's done the Mad Max.
That's how I felt about the Creed movies. Like Ryan Coogler
Yeah.
wrote and produced the second and the third one, and he wrote all three of them and was attached to all three of them. But the only reason he didn't direct two and three is because he was filming Black Panther at the same Black Panther one and two the same time the second one and the third one was
I
filming.
missed the third one. I couldn't get behind the third one because of Jonathan Majors.
Right.
So that happened right after I learned. So I didn't go see it. And just the age, just like the year that they increase, and it's just like it didn't make sense. Where's Rocky? I didn't want any part of that.
Well, what you said, where's Rocky, the third one?
Yeah, he wasn't in the third one, was he?
Oh no, he wasn't needed. No, they ended his
Yeah,
story
see,
and
I couldn't get behind that part either. I was like, but it's Rocky suit. It's like Rocky. You gotta have Rocky.
Yeah,
Then.
they ended his story in the second one. They and when I say ended his story, they sent him a happy send off. They do he does not die. But they sent him a happy send off, and to be honest, he isn't really needed after the second one anymore.
That's valid. I didn't really care to watch the third one. Maybe I will down the line, but just because Jonathan Majors was in it, I couldn't get behind it. I just like, yeah. Like George Lucas, he directed the original three, and I think the three prequel ones, and it's just like, that's why they're so good, because you have that continuality. You have a director that knows what happens, and it's just, it makes it even better. That's how, I feel like that's why I've enjoyed Mad Max thus far.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all we have for this week on the Midcasters. Next week, we will have a special guest, guys. You're going to have to guess who because we're not going to tell you. But Craig, where can they find you on social media?
On all socials, it is at Craig Junior 97.
Awesome. And you can find me at Jalen Sanderson on Twitter, Lost in Life Translation on the Tick of the Talk, and Sandra Loves Movies on Letterboxd. Because if you're not following me on Letterboxd, what are you doing? But yeah, that's all we have for this week, episode six. Come back for episode seven next week with our special guest. I'm Jalen, and this is.
Craig.
Bye bye.